You're listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes, a production of the Ephesus School Network.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The company of the angels was amazed.
Hi, this is Father Aaron Warwick with Jason Everett, and you are listening to the Teach Me Thy Statutes podcast, episode number 167.
Today's reading is from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 26. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, a cereal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare thy people, O Lord, and make not thy heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you and drive him into a parched and desolate land, his front into the eastern sea and his rear into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and vine give their full yield. Be glad, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years which the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Father, we don't come across readings from the Old Testament very often unless we find ourselves in the period of Great Lent. And we are, of course, in preparation for the beginning of Great Lent. And we find today's reading, which is one of two readings from Joel appointed for today, March 13th. And there are also two readings from Zechariah appointed for this Friday. And as we've never had the opportunity to discuss this Old Testament prophet, Father, maybe some background would be helpful as we begin today.
Yeah, I agree. Joel is a book that is unfamiliar to many. It's part of what we refer to as the 12 minor prophets. And the 12 minor prophets are one book in the Hebrew canon, but are each given individual books in the Christian tradition. And Joel is a short book, being only three chapters long. If it's known at all to most people, it's because Peter quotes from the book briefly during his sermon on Pentecost in the book of Acts. Now, the name Joel, I want to point out, combines the terms used for Yahweh, which was considered to be an ancient Near Eastern god of Semitic tribes, and this word is usually translated in modern English Bibles as Lord. And then together with Yahweh, the name Joel uses the term El, which comes from Elohim and is used in the Bible to express the meaning of God as the universal God, as we often think about God today. We've talked about this in some other episodes as well, but putting Joel's name together, it means that Yahweh is God. And of course, that is the biblical and Christian understanding that this Yahweh was not just a tribal god of a group that later becomes identified as the Jews, but that Yahweh, the biblical God, is the God of the universe.
In the opening book, Joel introduces himself by name, and then he says he is the son of Pethuel. I'm not aware of that name, Pethuel, being used anywhere else in the Bible. So what is the significance of that name, if any?
Yeah, you're right. Pethuel is not used elsewhere in the Bible. As our longtime listeners are likely aware by now, I tend to view the usage of names like this as having symbolic meaning, not necessarily stating that there was a man named Pethuel who happened to be Joel's biological father. Now, maybe that was the case. Maybe his dad was named Pethuel, but why point that out when Pethuel appears nowhere else in Scripture? So I think that Joel almost certainly uses that name Pethuel, saying that he's the son of Pethuel, because it means the mouth of God or the persuasion of God.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense then, that Joel would basically open his book by stating that he is a prophet, that his book is speaking on behalf of God and then trying to persuade people to turn to God.
Yeah, correct. And that's exactly what the book or the prophecy of Joel is about, persuading people to return to the biblical God.
And speaking of that, let's go into the details of the book as a whole, since it's so short, and not necessarily limit ourselves just to the reading today. And we can return to that soon, but maybe first you can explain the opening of the book, because in the opening, Joel is talking about locusts and destruction in the land, which would have been the southern kingdom of Judah. So what is that all about?
Yeah, so I think there are two main interpretations of the locusts. For our listeners who haven't read or don't remember, in the beginning of the book of Joel, we hear of swarms of locusts destroying the land of Judah. And as I said, there are two different interpretations about this. So one of those is more literal in the sense that there was the interpretation being there was some type of agricultural destruction that took place in the land shortly before Joel prophesied. And the destruction was used then by Joel to prophesy about the great and final destruction that would come upon the land and the people of Judah if they did not repent of their sin. As a side note, unlike most of the prophets, Joel does not elaborate on what exactly their sin is, besides just a general turning away from God. And then the second main interpretation of that, which is slightly different than the first one, would be that Joel was using the locusts in the beginning to symbolize a foreign invader who had or would again be destroying and overwhelming Judah. So for me, the difference between these two is basically irrelevant, because what is of the utmost importance is not debating that topic, but noting that Joel, like all the prophets, was using whatever may have been going on at that time to call the people to repentance, reminding them of the upcoming judgment of God for which they should be prepared.
That kind of gets to the last series of questions I wanted to ask, Father, and as I mentioned earlier, we're preparing for Great Lent and all that comes with it, and these readings from the prophets no doubt have a purpose for their place here in this Lenten preparatory period. So what should we take away from these Old Testament readings as we reflect and ready ourselves for the journey ahead?
I think it's pretty clear the church chooses this reading that we heard from you today from Joel because it talks about fasting and repentance in advance of what Joel refers to as the, quote, day of the Lord, which is clearly speaking about the day of judgment. For us as Orthodox Christians, since this is the final week before we begin our full Lenten fasting season, our primary season of repentance each year on the church calendar, which we call Great Lent, we're being reminded that we do all of this fasting, that we have this season in purview of preparing ourselves for the final judgment.
Father, you've spoken of that to us in sermons recently at church, and obviously this past Sunday we had the Sunday of Judgment and the reading of the final judgment from Matthew 25, but you also mentioned it last week on the Saturday of Souls.
Yeah, correct. Although there are other smaller commemorations of the departed during Lent, the two main Saturday of Souls commemorations are the Saturday before Judgment Sunday, this past weekend, right before we start the fast from meat this week, because Judgment Sunday is Meat Fair Sunday as well. And then there's another Saturday of Souls major commemoration, right before this entire season culminates in the Feast of Pentecost. And I think these being placed on the church calendar at these times makes it abundantly clear that they're offered not just for us to remember and to commemorate our departed loved ones, but for us to consider that someday we will either join them in death or that our Lord will return to judge the living and the dead before we join them in death. So in either case, what we're being reminded of by the church and these readings that are had in these commemorations is the fact that there will be a judgment ahead of us, and that the season of Lent is a special time for us to remember that and to focus on repenting, on turning away from our sinful habits and tendencies. So this reading from Joel underscores that even further. Right before we begin the Lenten season, we're being reminded by Joel that the day of the Lord is coming, and that when that day comes, the Lord God will execute judgment. In fact, in chapter 3, which comes right after where you left off in today's reading, we hear that God will not only gather those of Judah and Jerusalem, but that he will also gather all nations. And again, this is signaling to all of us that the season of Great Lent is given to us as a time to prepare, not so much for Pascha, as we often think, but as a time to prepare for the great and fearful second coming of our Lord, at which time he will execute the judgment.
Thank you, Father. In today's episode, we discuss the book of Joel, one of the 12 minor prophets. Father Aaron began by pointing out that Joel's name means Yahweh is God. In addition, Joel writes that he is the son of Pethuel, which means the mouth of God or the persuasion of God. And so Joel opens his book by stating he is a prophet. And as is the case with all the prophets, Joel uses events occurring at the time to call the people to repentance and remind them of the coming judgment of God. Today's reading specifically references fasting and repentance, which is a reminder to us that in the coming period of Great Lent, we are called to fasting and repentance to prepare ourselves for the final judgment. We find other reminders on Judgment Sunday, as well as the Saturday of Souls, the latter of which is not offered solely to commemorate our departed loved ones, but for us to consider the fact that there will be a judgment ahead of us. Joel underscores that the day of the Lord is coming, and when that day comes, he will execute judgment.
Thank you for listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes. We hope you tune in next week for a new episode.
Alleluia, alleluia, glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, 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 glory to thee, O God. Oh,